Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And we are going back to Ukraine, the subject of a previous call. Let me tell you something. Ukraine is in the same position that we were in, and I say that the West, when Hitler rose to power in the late, well, 1932 is when he was elected, but in the late 30s when he started to invade other countries, Poland in 1939, then France and the rest of them after that, and then, of course, we came into the war. You cannot negotiate with a Hitler. You know, a lot of people have said, well, you know, there's going to have to be a negotiated end to this. Maybe give Henry Kissinger's just suggested in the Davos conference the other day, maybe give Russia Crimea and the Donbass, and then we have the end of the war. You don't have the end of the war. What you have is Putin gulping down that territory and then attacking Kyiv 6 months later. When you're dealing with Hitler, Hitler must be killed. The Nazi high command must be executed. The oligarchs and Putin are Nazis. There's a historical basis for what I'm saying. Joseph Stalin came in after Lenin died, and he ruled till he died of supposedly natural causes in 1953. His main rival was a guy named Trotsky. So he decided to kill Trotsky. Trotsky was lucky. Initially, he escaped to Mexico under assumed name. In the 1940s, he's walking down the streets of Mexico City. Guy comes up behind him with a hatchet, which is kind of nasty when you think about it, and hit him in the head as hard as he could and killed Trotsky. This is how the Russians operate. They've always operated that way. Always operated that way. The Tsar, in the 19th century, one of their great novelists was Dostoevsky. He's part of a thing called the Decembrist movement. The Tsar thought that that was disloyal to him, so he arrested Dostoevsky, their great novelist, just before he became great, and a bunch of others, and we're going to shoot him. And this is how they handle him. They put velvet hoods on their head and brought him into a room, and Dostoevsky is going, well, I guess I'm going to die. And then at the end, they put a gun to his head, start to pull the trigger, and they say, you've been pardoned. Scare the living bejesus out of him. In my view, it badly affected his art. I don't want to get into all that. The point is, these people are sick. It's a sick culture, and it's fundamentally a Nazi culture. And so what happened was, Hitler came along, and he was Stalin's kind of guy. They got together, non-aggression pact, 1940. They said, okay, 39, 40, we're going to go in and divvy up Poland and all this. They were Nazis. Then Hitler surprised Stalin by invading Russia after they've gobbled up Poland. And then for the next couple of years, Russia virtue signaled. They go, virtue signal, we're good guys, we're good guys. America, bail us out. Well, we were bailing everybody out. We won the Second World War. Now they claim that anybody opposed them were Nazis. They've now accused the United States and Western Europe of being Nazis. Nazi is a symbol to them. Well, here's what's happened. A guy in Geneva, just now a veteran, Russian, when I say veteran, a Russian veteran diplomat, he's not a newcomer. He resigned, and he's seeking refuge in Switzerland because Putin had killed him. And here's what he said. I am ashamed of my country. Those who conceive this war want only one thing, to remain in power forever, live in pompous, tasteless palaces, sail on yachts, comparable in tonnage and cost to the entire Russian Navy, enjoying unlimited power and complete impunity. This is what, that's a direct quotation. And they are willing to sacrifice as many lives as it takes. That is a magnificent statement from this Russian diplomat. I'm going to say it again. Quote, his name is Boris Bondarev. You know what I love about these names, by the way? There's a guy in Russian history named Boris Godunov. He's well known. Well, Mad Magazine in the 1950s had a character named Boris Badunov. They had the Boris and Natasha spies. It was very funny. And but there are people with names like that, Boris Bondarev. This guy, in any event, is a real hero. And here's what he said. He's a veteran diplomat for the Ruskies. Quote, those who conceive this war in Ukraine want only one thing, to remain in power forever, live in pompous, tasteless palaces, sail on yachts comparable in tonnage and cost to the entire Russian Navy, enjoying unlimited power, complete impunity, and they're willing to sacrifice as many lives as it takes. What is Russia doing? What is he talking about? Not just the military war. Russia is preparing Putin to annex parts of southeastern Ukraine. They're already starting to install officials, killing and torturing mayors and members of parliament in the present Ukrainian government. They've introduced the ruble in some places. They say, you're going to use this money. Well, all right, what am I going to buy with it? Nobody will take it. They go through the school curriculums and they impose new ones. They cut off all Ukrainian broadcasts. They've rerouted the internet servers through Russia. They've captured the largest European nuclear plant, and they are going to charge Ukraine for public electricity on it. They are animals. These are Nazis. So Henry Kissinger, I have a lot of respect for some of the stuff he did, not all of it, back in the Vietnam War. But the fact of the matter is, this idiot goes, well, we've got to accommodate Russia, appease them. We've got to appease Russia. Got to appease Russia. Oh, really? You got to appease Russia. Got to give them Crimea, get them the Donbass, maybe we'll have peace. No, we're not going to have peace. You never have peace with Hitler. You never have peace with organized crime. You give them anything, give them an inch, they take a mile. Putin's got to go. There are people in Russia. Boris Bondarev is an example. He's not the only example. Boris Bondarev, who know what's going on. You know, if you're in the Russian Navy and you see these oligarchs with ships that exceed in tonnage and cost your Navy, they had one flagship battleship, the Moskva, and it was sunk by a bunch of Ukrainian guys with a missile out of the flatbed truck, for Pete's sake. For Pete's sake. Then they have guys, you know, they shoot their wounded. And this is coming from Russian soldiers. Guys lying there and they're retreating. They go, get up and come with us. He goes, we can't. I can't. My legs have been shot. They put a bullet in his head and just leave him on the ground. They are animals. They are Nazis. It was a very big mistake, in my view, back in January, not to put troops in Ukraine in February, impose a no-fly zone. There's nothing that Putin could have done about that. I think Joe Biden was very understandably concerned. He's trying to put together a European coalition, the European coalition against Putin. And if he'd done some of that, he might have lost France and Germany. And that would have been very bad for NATO. And then you had him stabbed in the back by Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson, Tokyo Rose, Tucker Rose. Trump, always with a knife out, it's a knife in America, not a Russian. Rand Paul, Josh Hawley, other traitors, other backstabbers. So he did what he could, you know, and okay, I differ with the one thing. But now let's get Zelensky what he needs. Let's get him more planes. Let's get him missiles. We have missiles we could give him that they could launch from shore and take out every Russian ship out in the Black Sea. You know what the Ruskies are doing right now? They are deliberately bombing warehouses with grain. Not to starve the Ukrainians, to starve Africa. They taunted the West, including the United States at Davos, or they sent a message. It said, why don't we send grain to Africa? We can send it here in Russia from this port that they have in the Black Sea. We can send it from Russia, drop the sanctions. But they continue to block Odessa, the Ukrainian port. They continue to block any ships going out onto the Black Sea to then ultimately get to Africa. Africa, the northern third, there'll be mass starvations because of these animals in Russia. That will induce more of them to want to emigrate to Europe. Russia is a malignant tumor. A malignant tumor. You cannot negotiate with a malignant tumor. They brandish the saber. The truth of the matter is they're basket cases, but the problem is the sanctions that we have can badly cripple the country, but as long as Putin and his oligarchs can steal 80%, even though it's a lesser amount, they will. Remember Boris Badenov's quote, "Those who conceive this war want only one thing, to remain in power forever, live in pompous, tasteless palaces, sail on yachts comparable in tonnage and cost to the entire Russian Navy, enjoy unlimited power and complete immunity, and they're willing to sacrifice as many lives as it takes. They're Nazis, they're animals, they've got to be destroyed." Want a break? Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.